Thanks for tuning in. This is Matt Santos of the Mile High Show. You're listening to episode 111. 111. Hopefully much better than last week's 110, which was a rambling rant by me after an angry week. Although in this episode, we kind of got on that same track, and I repeated a lot of the stuff. So, you know what? Bypass them both. Just skip right up to episode 112. We, being myself and Matt Hinshaw, a frequent guest on this show, we are sitting down at Far From Folsom on Prescott's Whiskey Row, a Johnny Cash-themed restaurant, live music throughout the week, great food, great people serving it up. And we were sitting out here in the little front sitting area, eating some sandwiches and having a couple of drinks and having a good time. Matt has been on the show several times over the last couple of years, but aside from that, he's a good friend of mine. We've known each other about 9 years or so, maybe 10 years. We both work together for local media, and we have both left that media outlet. So we talk about his recent vacation. We catch up. We went from talking to each other 2, 3, 4 times a week to now talking to each other maybe once a month, once every 3 weeks or so. So we wanted to sit down and catch up. We talked a little bit about his trip to Florida recently. We talked a little bit about arena football. We talked a little bit about photography. We talked a little bit about food. We talked a little bit about my meltdown and rant last week. So sit back and enjoy. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. Please use that Amazon link at milehighshow.com to do all your online shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra. That link will take you right to your regular Amazon or Amazon Prime login. Doesn't cost you anything extra, but it gives us a little thank you at the end of the month, a good way to support the show. Also, use that support the show tab at milehighshow.com. Go on. It's got links to the Amazon, the Audible link. It's got links to our iTunes page. Go on there. This is completely free. You go on there and give us a rating, give us a review. It boosts our visibility a little bit and helps us out there on the ratings. But check it out. MileHighShow.com also has links to all of our past episodes. So use that support the show page. Oh, it also has a PayPal button, so you can actually just give us a buck or two. Helps pay for Reuben sandwiches and Philly cheesesteaks, which is what we are eating. So sit back and enjoy my time with Matt Hinshaw at Far From Folsom in Prescott, Arizona. Is this sitting next to a still
reminds me of my backyard? No, yeah.
Man, how was Florida?
It's good, man. It was good. Enjoyed it. It was humid. I cannot believe how humid it was. It was ridiculous. I did a lot of things. A lot of things.
Like,
I don't make it out to my buddy's house very often, maybe every 4 or 5 years, give or take. And so we just did everything. The main purpose was Universal Studios Florida has a thing called Hollywood Horror Nights. I believe they do it in L.A. as well. But and what they do is they have all these haunted houses, 7 or 8, 9, whatever, and they're all based on their properties. So, like, there was a Walking Dead one. There was an Exorcist one. Just all kinds
Isn't
of different.
Is life scary enough already without all that?
Pretty much, yeah. But my buddy knows I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead, and so he always wanted me to come out and see that. And it just, I wouldn't say it lined up, but work gave me the time off, and I was able to go out there. So that was the main purpose, was to go to that. And we went to it 2 nights in a row, and I have to tell you, it is a heck of a lot more fun when you're hammered. The first night we went out and we hit up all the houses. That was the purpose, was to go to all the houses. The second night he brought his girlfriend and we just got blitzed. And it was so much more fun the second night. It was great. They're not scary at all.
Where'd you guys go snorkeling?
Yeah, well, that was another thing. He wanted to take me down to the Keys, and I was asking about it because I'd never been to the Keys. Yeah. And we went down to actually Key Largo. It's the first key.
Yeah.
And we got down there, and we left early, 6 o'clock in the morning, which Arizona time is 3. So I was hurting pretty bad. But I still got up, and we went to this place called Wawa before we went down there and got breakfast. And if you've not been to Wawa,
you have to. I didn't know they were down that far south.
Mike was telling me they weren't down that far south until a couple years ago, because he used to see them in the northeast all the time when he'd go TDY up there. And
where they go, what?
TDY, temporary duty. It's basically the military slang for going on a business trip.
Gotcha.
That's what I grew up. My dad always called it that, so I knew that.
Okay.
But so he was up there doing stuff in Rhode Island, and he would go to Wawa up there all the time. Yeah. And they've just started migrating down.
Where, like, Rhode Island, you said?
Yeah, he'd go to Rhode Island.
I know some guys from Pennsylvania, Philly area, and that's what they call, even when they talk about going to, like, in California, going to 7-Eleven. They always say, you want to go down to Wawa? And as a kid, I didn't know what they were talking about.
Well, neither did I went
then,
there.
You know where I know it from now? I mean, well, Littlemore is who you met, Steve Simone.
Yeah.
He grew up in the Philly area.
Uh-huh.
But that show, The Goldbergs.
It's always on The Goldbergs,
I've heard guys now, buddies of mine, talk about the Wawas. So I knew what it was, and then when I saw it on Goldbergs, I was like, that's cool.
Oh, she's asking a question.
What? No, it's all right.
You're good.
Yeah.
Yep, thanks.
You're welcome.
Is there anything in the still?
She didn't answer you. She ran away very fast. I think you scared her again.
No, yeah, I've heard. Growing up, we had 7-Eleven. We knew we were far from home when the 7-Elevens turned into Circle K's. That would happen when you got into the Central Valley. Modesto, I think, had one. Fresno had, like, a Circle K. But nothing in the Bay Area. It was all Quick Stops and 7-Elevens was all we had. And then coming out here, there are 7-Elevens in Phoenix, but
I grew up in Arizona, and everything growing up as a child was Circle K's and Chevrons.
Yeah, see, there's 7-Elevens in Phoenix, but none up here.
Yeah.
They got them in Phoenix. I don't know if that's new or not, but
no.
Circle
well,
K,
probably not. I wouldn't
and
think
then,
so.
And then QT's, which have a pretty extensive kitchen and food and
QT's
stuff.
QT's came in to Arizona when I was in Phoenix, when I was in college.
Oh, they're
and
pretty
like
new
my
then?
Sophomore year of college, QT started opening up, and they started opening up in Tempe.
Where are they
and that's
from?
Where they're based out of. Yeah, they're based out of Tempe.
Oh, so it's
it was
like
a whole new thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
And they just exploded across Phoenix.
Maverick, which we got out in Chino, which I like. I like Maverick.
Yeah, we have one over in Dewey or Prescott Valley, I guess you would say.
Well, you got the one right there on Glassford too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
They're out of Utah. I didn't know that. They're Mormon owned. They're big in Utah, Salt Lake, I think. But when they were doing at the event center, I think it was still Tim's at the time. It might have already been Prescott Valley. But that old Courier Lounge, the press club
the
up
one
there,
up top, yeah.
They were trying to get a new sponsor, a new tenant for advertising.
Yeah, for the sponsor, yeah.
And they were shooting Catfish was really shooting for Maverick to come in. And there was maybe the second to last season was when they were courting Maverick real big, and they brought in the execs from Maverick out of Salt Lake. So what Jim put out a big old spread, Cabral put out a big old spread in there, and they had me go around to the Mavericks and take pictures. You know how they got like the scenes up on the roof and stuff,
yeah,
the kayaks and the rock climbers.
Uh-huh.
They're not just painted on. They got like dummies
Some of them are legitimate, you know, sculptures. Yeah,
yeah. So I went in and shot pictures, and then we used Photoshop to put it. And then I did pictures of the press club, and then put those around in there. It actually looked pretty good.
Oh, nice.
And they had me do that and put their logos and stuff up there. And it didn't work out, but it was a fun little project to do, you know, make a couple bucks and be able to go take pictures in the Maverick and shoplift while I was there.
Well, anyways, back on topic, the reason why Wawa is so great is because they have their regular convenience store stuff, and then in the middle, it's almost like a made-to-order fast food place. And so when we went there in the morning, I got a breakfast burrito custom-made to exactly what I wanted. It had, like, mushrooms and steak
and what do you order for a breakfast burrito? What is your custom order?
Well, that's what I was saying. That's what they...
I know. What is it?
Well, I don't remember exactly now.
Because I hate going to fast food and ordering for you.
What do you mean?
Because yours is always, well, I don't even remember what it is, and you're going to correct me when I say it, but it's like, okay, no onions, no tomato, only mustard, no mayo. It's
no,
like,
no,
you're going
like
into
onions.
Fast food. You order what you get, and that's what you get.
Dude, I do that most of the time, but there's two things that I cannot stand on fast food, and that is mustard and tomatoes.
It's fast food. It's a $2 hamburger. You get whatever they put on it.
And they're going to earn their minimum wage to make me that $2 hamburger.
If there's a kitchen sponge on it, you just count it as a bonus.
That explains the soapy water flavor.
If we didn't want something, when I was a kid, when I was a little kid, like 5, 6, I couldn't stand pickles on a burger, and it was because one day, and we're about to eat here.
I was going to say.
No, I was in the back of our station wagon, and I never get car sick, but I got car sick that day. I was probably getting sick anyway, because I usually don't get car sick, and I threw up, and what I threw up was the pickle that I was eating. It just came out of the hand.
Just the pickle? Nothing else came up?
But
that sounds like a little stretch to me there, sir.
No, I was eating my burger, and that's what I ate first. If you've never paid attention, see, this is how close of friends we are. You've never paid attention when I ate a burger, have you?
I didn't know I was going to have a test on
no,
this.
No, anyway,
Well, we haven't gotten our food yet. I'll pay attention now.
No, well, I'm getting a sandwich. It doesn't matter. It's
oh,
different.
It's not a burger.
Sandwich
it's different.
I threw up, and I had that pickle taste in my mouth. So for years, I couldn't eat pickles on thing. So I would always want, whenever we went somewhere, I ordered it without pickles, and my dad had this, you don't want it, take it off.
That's what I do for a lot of it, except
it was
for mustard,
a big
because
deal.
You can't take mustard off.
We had to scrape it off. And I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was my brother Gabe. He didn't like mustard. Scrape it off.
I tried, but it gets tainted. It gets in like everything.
But when Burger King, their big slogan was, have it your way.
Yeah.
That was their bit, and that was unheard of for fast food. But you never watched me. I don't know why. This is how I've eaten hamburgers since I was a little kid, and I still do. I open it up, take the wrapper off, and I eat the top bun. Then I eat whatever's on it, pickles, lettuce, tomato, whatever, onion. And then I eat the patty, and then I eat the bottom bun. I eat it in layers. I've done that since I was a little kid.
Anybody tell you have problems?
Yeah. Of all the problems I have, I'll take that.
You'll take that one? That one's the nice one.
You never notice how I eat pizza?
Yes, I have noticed how you eat pizza.
How do I eat?
You always scrape everything off of the pizza.
I do it the same
pizza.
Way. I eat the top down.
You like scrape everything off with like a fork and a knife, and then
well, I just
you
use a fork.
Eat.
I don't use a knife. I'm not a savage.
Well, if John Stewart was here, he would beat your head in because you're not supposed to eat pizza with a fork and a knife.
I don't. But I use a fork. I eat the top stuff first.
Well, you sit there and you scrape
it
all off,
and if I don't have a fork,
part.
If I don't have a fork, I just fold it.
Oh, here comes a dude with food.
Ruben, you can stick it right here. That's fine, thanks.
Philly?
That goes over there. Surprised you didn't special order it with...
Down. Man. It went everywhere. Not that.
You ever eat a Ruben at Gabby's?
I'm not a big fan of sour cream.
Oh. You order a Ruben there? They yell out, Ruben! Really loud from the... That's how they order it for you, from the floor.
We didn't get any condiments.
We're going to have to ask them for that.
Oh, they're on the other table.
You want me to run over and get them?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll hit pause and probably messing it up. Hey, I did. That was a time lapse. What seemed instantaneous to the listener... was actually 30 seconds because you're pretty fast getting condiments.
Dude, now they're going to hear us eating our food.
I don't care.
Yeah, nobody listens to this thing anyways. Ha!
I sure hope nobody listens to last week's. Oh, word of advice if you're still listening or if you're listening, and for you, Matt, if anybody has like an automatic download through iTunes or whatever, just delete last week's completely. Don't even bother.
Good to know.
There is something to be... You ever hear, like, don't go driving?
Go ahead.
No, I was just wondering what kind of sounds were going to come as
out
you
of
started...
That, as I set it down on my knee next to the still.
Oh, I don't know where it was going.
It was right here next
I was hoping it wasn't going to fall behind you
on the table.
I don't care. What are you going to do?
Well, go ahead, talk. Let's go. Yeah. I was going to put ketchup on the plate so I could eat my French fries with ketchup.
I'll tell you what happened last week.
Okay, go
ahead. There's like a saying, and I can't remember what, you know, like with couples, they never go to bed angry. Don't drive when you're angry. You get aggressive. I'll add to that. Don't podcast when you're angry. I had a really bad week last week. And I try to put these out every Monday. This is Wednesday night when we're sitting here recording it far from Folsom on Prescott's Whiskey Row. So it'll go up tonight, only 2 days late. Last week's went up 5 days late.
Oh, so the one you put up on Sunday was last week's?
Saturday. I put it up Saturday.
Oh, dude, iTunes says Sunday.
Huh?
iTunes says Sunday.
Oh, it hit on iTunes Saturday night. Oh, you know what? Maybe because it was like, I don't know, do they use West Coast time?
I don't know. Probably because Apple's in California.
Because it popped before midnight. Well, maybe it was after. I don't remember. Anyway. But yeah, that was last week's. Only 5 days late, 6 days late. I had a horrible week, just stressed out.
That explains why you didn't call me.
Well, yeah, it would have been worse had I called you.
You're probably
had
right.
I had to talk to you.
I'm a horrible human being.
So I had plans to do one Monday. Didn't work. Anthony got sick. He was still sick Tuesday. I had a job that was only supposed to take a couple hours on Wednesday, stretched way late, so I was way back already. So I figured I'll do one Thursday, maybe Friday. It'll be a week late, but I'll do Friday. Fell through, couldn't do it. So Saturday, I kept trying to. I had we were talking about sitting down in Chino.
Yeah, at the that
didn't
coffee shop.
Didn't happen. I was supposed to be freed up about noon, and I didn't free up till after 4. Then so I was backed up all. Anyway, I was backed up all day. So about 11 o'clock, I go out to the garage. Well, actually, let me rephrase that. I escaped for a few hours.
Uh-oh.
When I finally freed up, I got home. I was stressed out. Sandra was a little stressed. Anthony had been dragged around.
Was he still sick?
No, he was sick. But because I was backed up all week, when he was better, he was off of school all week.
Yeah, it was fall break,
wasn't it? We had some things planned Monday, Tuesday, and then we were going to do fun stuff Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Mm-hmm. And we got everything got turned over, so I had to end up dragging him to work Thursday and Friday. Saturday, we had planned on doing something. He was going to go with us to that coffee shop. We were going to go hang out. Me and you were going to record. We were going to just hang out.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
It just got all messed up. So about 4:30, 5 o'clock, I get home, and I'm stressed. Sandra goes, well, what are you going to do? You going to go to work? She says, nope. So we killed the phones, got in the car, drove down to Phoenix. And I dropped them off. I kind of snuck some work in, but dropped them off at the Carts and Coasters right there.
Oh, Castles Center. And Coasters? Yeah, that's right across from my sister's work.
They played a round of miniature golf and then some video games.
Dude, they have, like, seriously the best arcade. If you're into arcade games or video games at all.
And they got the old retro stuff.
Yeah, the different levels. Oh,
Galaga.
Dude, I loved it when I was in high school. We'd go there in high school. The top levels have the old school 80s games, and then they have 90s games. And the farther down you go in the levels, granted, you know, the base level and then under a little bit are the more modern games. But you can play, like, the original Pac-Man and everything. I mean, if you're into video games, it's the best arcade in the state of Arizona.
Back
easy.
When you had to play a video game, you had to either go to an arcade or go to the 7-Eleven. In our case, it was 7-Eleven.
In my case, we went to Fry's Grocery Store.
Yeah.
Fry's Grocery Store had Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3.
So on the way down there, I started getting phone calls. And one of them worked out. It was somebody that I needed to talk to anyway. There is a sponsor who has sponsored a couple of shows. And he's got a big program coming up in. He hasn't given me the info yet on what I'm supposed to. So I'm not going to say who it is. That'll pop up later. He runs a business. What? Okay. Yeah, real good. Hey, is this empty or can we tap in and get some booze out of here?
Well, it would be quite convenient.
Self serve on a still. So I don't want to say who it is because he's got a business that he runs.
Do I know him?
No, he's down in Phoenix.
Of course, nobody knows me.
He's like a mini TED, Prescott Pro Sounds.
Oh, okay, yeah.
He does some smaller venues down there, and then some of the comics and bands who need like auxiliary PA systems and stuff. He works it like as a side job type of thing. But I don't know if he wants the sponsorship under his that company name or under his main job or under the event that I'm going to be covering for him in the spring. I'm not sure yet. So we'll leave that out. But
sounds like you're going to be busy.
Well, no, I don't know what to say. This is what happened, though. So he reached out to me on a job a few weeks ago, and I had to help him out remotely on the phone to set up a little PA system at one of the gigs. And we got to talking, and I mentioned that I got a friend of mine who uses, like Sky's got a nice Bose. Les has a nice Bose.
Uh-huh.
Paul Morris uses a Fender or Yamaha, the little suitcase one.
Yeah, uh-huh.
James Haight over at Victory Wealth, he does his presentations and stuff. He used to have a small, like a 175-200-watt Fender where it's a suitcase mount where the speakers detach, and then the center part is the control thing. He sold that to the Chino Chamber, so I've used it there a couple times, and he's got this massive, like 500-600-watt suitcase thing. They're expensive, though. So I've used everything from the really cheap, junky ones up to, like, James's. I've been there when he's used it. That's the one he had set up at
the Star Wars thing?
Star Wars deal, yeah. So I'm telling this guy about the ones I've used and how I like tapping in with this little Zoom recorder when we do the live shows and stuff. But I've kind of been at the mercy of Les and Sky and Teddy when he helped us out for equipment, because I don't have any PA stuff when we do our live shows, when we do it with an audience. So I'm telling him this. He goes, "Well, what are you looking for? I can hook you up." And we had at the job, there was like three or four of them, from really high end to lower end.
Oh, nice.
So we're talking, and then he called me up, and he goes, "Tell you what, let's work out a deal for the spring, and I'll get you one. What do you need? What size?" And then he gave me a figure of where he wanted to be, you know, the max he wanted to go. And I picked it up, so I went and picked it up Saturday while we were down there.
Wow.
It's a cool, it's a brand new, right, sealed in the box. It's 120-watt, 12-inch or 15-inch speakers. And then the amp is a separate amp system, 4 XLR inputs. I can tap my recorder right into it. I can also reverse it and tap. You could put in your laptop or your MP3 player, even I did it with my phone, so you could play music through the system. That still frees up the 4 mics.
Oh, nice.
But I could also reverse that and play this in and run my 6 mics plus their 4. So push comes to shove, we could have 10 separate mics running out of one.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
Why?
Well, look at the chaos that has come of our big group shows.
Well,
before.
No, that's the thing. It's really simple to use. And it says, so I got it. He gave it to me. So I bring it home, and then Sunday afternoon, I plugged it, hooked it up in the garage. That thing kicks, man. So I opened up the garage doors, let it run, and then went down the hill to hear how it sounds. Perfect. It's nice. It's really nice. I wouldn't run a band through it, but for
you,
vocals, for speaking, it's fine.
I figured knowing you, you'd probably, try and scream and yell at Sandra to bring you a sandwich in the garage.
No, but it ran pretty good. It'll work just fine. So that'll help us out. I want to go upstairs too and do one up there. Maybe our anniversary show.
Yeah, when's that? December?
Yeah, 2 years. You're
2 years, huh?
Oh, by the way, this is 111, 111, this episode.
So does that mean it's lucky? Because I probably shouldn't be on it.
No. Oh, but anyway, what brought this whole thing up is, so I was, after last week and Saturday, other than getting the free gear, I was just in a nasty mood. And I realized I hadn't done one yet, which is not a big deal. Because if I miss a week, it's my own show. I could do what I want. But Podcast Radio Network pulls my previous week's feed every Sunday and airs it on their FM frequency and on their website back east. And we're picking up another 3,000 listeners a month through that.
All those poor people.
Well, they run it on Sunday, but the feed's got to be there by Sunday morning. So I was thinking, I forgot to tell them I wasn't going to have a show. So I go out in the garage and I just plugged in headphones, threw in a mic, and started, and it was just going to be a short 15-20-minuter just to can fulfill my requirement.
Okay, how long did you rant?
An hour.
Oh, Lord.
53 minutes. And it went everywhere. It was horrible. It was painful to hear me say it. I haven't listened to it. I won't. I don't listen to any of these. But it went in so many different directions. It went from sick son to getting yelled at by people at Safeway that week to having to sit through a Trump rally to Bill Cosby and Woody Allen. And I don't know how they all tied in, but they kind of did.
Hey, I sat through that Trump rally, too.
It was bad.
I don't think the rally itself was too bad. I think it was the waiting for the rally because of the amount of people that were there.
Well, that was my thing, and I'll put this out there because I know she doesn't listen. Lynn pulled the same stats who we were shooting for on attendance from the campaign, the Trump campaign. She said there was over 20,000 people there.
I'm not touching that one.
All right, I am because I ranted on it Saturday.
There was not 20,000 people there.
This is what happened. Now, I know that arena, and this is God, we're getting on it again. This is a rehash of what I did on Saturday.
Well, you don't have to.
We'll do it real short.
We'll do it real short. We didn't even get to where I went.
No, I want to get back to that.
Scuba diving.
We did. I'll capsulize it. I know that arena. Jam packed, standing room only on the floor, the complete floor. You're looking at 6,500 people. Three quarters of that floor was blocked out for media and those media tables, and then a little section up front with a few hundred people was standing room. That was the rally goers.
Yeah, I'd say probably 200 people if you were lucky.
There might have been more because it did. They started pulling in people from outside. It got a little crowded towards, especially once Trump got up there. I talked with Dwight Devlin a couple days later from the Sheriff's Department. He was upstairs, and I asked him without even saying, and we both said about the same. We were about 100 or two off. I said probably 5,200. He said maybe 51 to 53 total in the building. Then me and you left as Trump was still speaking. He had another 10 to 15 minutes left.
Oh, I don't even think it was that much.
But it was pretty close.
When we got to the car, he was done.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When we walked out there, both you and I took pictures on that side yard where they had.
Yep.
My guess, including the vendors who were selling shirts and everything, 1,500 max.
Yeah.
And I think I'm being generous. Then you take into consideration, the people like the Dwights, the law enforcement who were there. If there was 10,000 people there, I'd be surprised. I'm guessing between 8,000 and 9,000. That's my guess.
That sounds accurate to me.
But so you know what they did.
I was talking to a former colleague of mine at an unnamed newspaper. And she said there were a lot of people outside that they were turning away left and right. That's great. There might have been a lot of people, but they could have gotten them inside, and they could have stayed and watched the screen.
They weren't turning away, which is what they were doing. Things started at 2. I was very surprised it actually started about 1:30, 1:45.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
With the pre-speeches. Arpaio and the RNC guys and all that. But what it was is they didn't open the doors to the public. They let us start going in, checking our bags and stuff at 10:30. They didn't open the doors to the public till 11. They were only coming through one entrance.
Oh.
So it was taking them forever to go through the metal detectors.
Oh, wow.
That's when people started leaving. They were tired of waiting in line.
Can't blame them.
They weren't getting turned away. And I talked to the people at the event center and the volunteers. They weren't being turned away. People were tired of waiting in line, so they left. Plus, they estimated a max crowd of 6,000 inside, and you had to have a ticket. They issued 18,000 tickets, knowing 12,000 plus weren't going to show up. Because people were like going, well, I'm not going to go. It's going to be too crowded. They kind of wanted to. Who knows why they wanted to. Anyway, so I'm thinking total, indoor and outdoor, 8,000 to 9,000. You know what they were doing? Those pictures you and I and everybody else was taking at 10 o'clock with that big line.
Yeah.
They showed that as the outdoor people. After they came in, those same people were photographed inside. So they were counting everybody twice.
Huh.
And
yeah, but still, that would make it what? Well,
20. Yeah. If you got 10 and 10.
Less, if you're, but you nine said 8 nine. To 9. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That makes sense then.
And then people who were showing up and cruising around. So anyway, I drop you off at your house.
Yep.
Anthony gets off school. We had teacher conference. They had a half a day. So Sandra took half a day off of work. But she had to go to school, like 4:30. She needs to leave. So I drop you off. I call her. She goes, hey, take your time. I got some time. I told her I was already on the way home. I walk into Walgreens in Chino at like 3:30, 3:45. Lady at Walgreens recognizes me. She says, hey, were you at that Trump thing? I wanted to go. I had to work. And I go, yeah, I was listening to the radio. And they said there was like 25,000 people there. No way. There was, and I told the same thing, but I just told you.
Yeah, there was all kinds of numbers.
Yeah. So I same thing I just told you, we were just talking about as far as the, how many were there. And I says, that media platform took a good chunk of the floor. And then as we're talking, the next register, this other guy comes up. And he's wearing his Trump shirt, and the lady at his register says, oh, were you at the rally? He goes, oh, it was great. It was incredible. Standing room only. There was like 30,000 people there. So my cashier kind of laughs, and she looks over. She goes, that's not what I heard. And he goes, oh, no, whoever you heard from was wrong. I was there. I was in the building. There was 10,000 people in the building. And I look, so I look at him, and I says, really? Yeah, I heard it was a lot less inside. And he goes, no, no. It was standing room only, jam-packed. Now, remember, behind the stage,
it was
they
empty.
Closed. No, they closed off three sections of seating to put the bleachers.
Yeah.
So you lost.
Yeah, we're still doing good. Thanks.
So you lost a few hundred people right there anyway. So I go, really? What? Where were they all? He goes, oh, the whole floor was standing room only. So I go, really? I had heard that they had a whole bunch of it sectioned off for media, like with the cameras and stuff. And he goes, oh, yeah. No, Trump kicked all the media out. Right when he took the stage, they kicked all the media out, and then all the people from outside flooded in. There was like 10,000 people. I said, really? When did that happen? He goes, right when Trump, and he quoted Trump, he had everybody turn around and yell at him that they were the enemy, and then they sent him out of the building. And I go, really? I didn't see that. And he goes, oh, you should have been there. I go, I was. I was in the media corral. That's what I was
one of the enemy.
I go, I didn't, I left and he was almost done with his speech. He goes, oh, no, 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 they kicked everybody out. I saw him. And I says, well, no, that's not what happened. And I said, you know, all right, buddy, I'll see you later. I walk out of the car. He followed me outside yelling at me the whole time I got in my car.
Did he follow you home too?
No, he was just yelling at me. Call me a liar. I'm like, what's the point? So that's how my week has been going. And then everybody, you know me, I am like the least political person in the world.
Pretty much.
I don't care. Either side, either, I don't care. And because I was there, I got signed up.
I saw that on your Facebook. You got slammed, man, just for being there. Like you were a Trump supporter or something.
I got signed up to like five, you know, I use my Facebook page it's a work thing. It's like my store. I don't, even the personal stuff I post, if it's of Anthony, it's because I'm talking about it on the radio or on the podcast, or I used to write about it in the column. I treat it as a work function. It's not a personal thing for me. If I'm not getting paid, I'm not on social media. So I'm just posting because I was there, like I do if I'm at a ball game or if I'm at an accident or whatever. And so it's kind of wide open. Anybody pretty much can view my page. In that week after the rally, I got signed up to like five or six different Make America Great Again Facebook pages.
Wow.
And like, so I had to go through and click them off, and I had people sharing my stuff as saying I was there as a support. I'm like, this, no, you don't understand. It's like, you know, half the people I deal with at work I can't stand. I mean, you know, it's... Anyway, that's my. So, how was scuba diving?
It was actually snorkeling.
Snorkeling.
I'm not.
So, if you want to see, if you want to see topless photos of Matt Hinshaw,
I only put one.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately, like the first comment was, "Man, you're wild." I was like, "You know, the last time my shirt was off in public, at least 20 years ago."
So how was the Keys? Was that your first time down there?
Yeah. Well, that was the thing. My buddy wanted to take me down there because I'd never been there, and I suggested it when we were trying to plan stuff out. We got down there. We left at 6 in the morning. We got down there about
noon-ish.
Now,
where is he? Orlando?
He's in Orlando, which Orlando to the Keys is a 4 or 5 hour drive at least. Maybe 3.5, 4, 5, something like that. I don't know. There's a lot of driving involved. And so we got to Key Largo, and we go to the snorkeling place, and like, oh, well, we were hoping to go on the 3 o'clock, And they're like, well, there's no one signed up for the 3 o'clock. The noon's getting ready to leave in a half hour. Why don't you just go on that
like
one?
A charter boat?
Yeah, well, it's a they have snorkeling shops and scuba shops and stuff, and they have their own boats, and they take people on tours and stuff to the reef. And so we're like, all right. And so we ran over to the place where the harbor was, where they had the boats and the docks and all that stuff. And we changed there in the bathroom and just went, left our stuff in the car, hopped on the boat, and went snorkeling right away.
Nice.
And so it was awesome. Saw a bunch of stuff. It's kind of like being in like the Little Nemo like tank. Like there's just fish everywhere, and I guess we went to a really good part of the reef. It was called Molasses Reef where we went, and it's usually packed and not a lot of people can get there. Well, there wasn't a whole lot of people out because, believe it or not, September is off season for Orlando and Florida.
I thought that was like the is that still summer months?
No, it's the same temperature year round just about. But yeah, it was off season because everybody's in school.
Yeah, but don't they get swamped with tourists like New Year? Like
in the summer, yeah.
Oh, I thought it was wintertime. People
in the wintertime, yeah. Too, like, you know.
Snowbirds and
yeah.
Stuff.
But they're swamped. Orlando's swamped year-round. All the times I've flown out there,
well,
every single time, go
Disney
in there.
World and all that.
Now, I've had layovers at different places, but always the flight direct into Orlando is always 100% full. Every single one of them, and every single one of them coming out is always 100% full.
Now,
every
did you
single
spend
time.
Spend the night down there?
Yeah, we stayed in Key Largo, but we did the snorkeling. We got back and we're like, well, we checked in the hotel and everything. And my buddy was like, well, I wasn't planning on it, but we got done with everything we were going to do today. You want to go down to Key West? And Key West from Key Largo is probably 2 hours.
Really? I didn't know.
I was like, well, if you want to, because it's all the Keys.
Why didn't you just keep going and go to Cuba?
It was 90 miles away. We could have made it if there's a road there. But so my buddy was like, I was like, if you're up for driving, and I offered to drive. He didn't let me drive at all. Maybe he doesn't trust me driving his nice new car.
Oh, that you're drunk.
No, I wasn't drunk at all. We were snorkeling. Although I did find out that having facial hair and trying to do anything where you have to put a mask where there needs to be a seal is bad. Because I could not get a seal. My mask kept leaking water because of my goatee. Well, the mustache part of my goatee.
Yeah.
It was. I still had a blast. We saw two nurse sharks. That was pretty awesome.
What kind?
Nurse.
Well, I don't know what that is.
They're not
the little.
They're
white
like
hats.
five feet long. The
white
ones
hats
we saw,
and little
like
short white skirts.
Yeah. Yep. How'd you know?
I saw the cartoon.
But so we, I was like, all right, we'll go down to Key West, and I guess they have like a square. And it's really popular for like watching the sunset, and so we went down there and watched that. But everybody
that's
was
like everybody lines up,
right.
And
oh yeah, it was packed. The whole square was packed, and we went and got a few beers and watched the sunset. And everybody was complaining because there was clouds. Well, Orlando usually doesn't have clouds like that. It was clouds like what we get here in the monsoons. And so as the sun was setting, the clouds were just kicking off all these colors and just looking
like the best
great.
Part,
right? And everybody was complaining, "Oh, you can't see the sun! You can't see the sun!" I was like, "No."
Sure. One of each.
Thanks.
Yeah.
So,
you ever
I thought
see,
it was great.
What was it? Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines and Jimmy Smits. It was a funny movie. Running Scared. They're cops in Detroit or somewhere.
Yeah.
And their dream was to go and open a bar down in the Keys. And there's a scene in that where that's where they went to go watch the thing.
Well, it was really cool, and I thought it was great. And I thought it was very weird that everyone else was complaining, and I thought it was made great picture. Sure, I didn't see the sun actually hit the water and go away, but there was a sailboat that came by, and I got great pictures of that, all kinds of stuff. I haven't looked at any of my 3 memory cards I filled up while I was there. And then we hung out the rest of the evening until probably about 8 or 9 o'clock. We walked the main drag there in Key West. We went to a couple bars, not a lot. Got some beers. We went to the original Margaritaville. That was awesome. Yeah. Got a margarita there. We walked to that southernmost point from that.
That is H.A. I wonder if Scotty was up there. Oh, we're just watching the motorcycles leave.
Yeah, all of them are leaving.
I've been looking to reach out. I've been needing to talk to Scotty. Oh, well.
Well,
our local Hells Angels leaving far from Folsom. I wish I would have seen him. Oh, well.
Dude, he might not have been there. It wasn't a whole lot of them.
Well, he's he's the sergeant at arms up here, I think, or something.
Oh, then he probably would have been here.
Yeah. I'm trying to, I want to see if he can get Sonny for me.
that would be awesome. But, so we hung around at Key West. We went to a couple of historic bars and stuff, drank some beers.
I've always wanted to go
there. Went to the
there.
Southernmost Point. Dude, it was awesome. I wish could have spent more time there.
Is that somewhere you've wanted to go? Or
oh, yeah.
Just,
it was. Okay. I've always wanted to check out the Keys. Well, I've just always wanted to check out the Keys because I heard they're great.
Just
well, think about it.
Curiosity?
It's a whole row of islands. Yeah. I haven't really been to many islands in my life. I've never been to Hawaii. I can't afford it. Dude, if you see him, run out there.
Yeah, I'm looking. Nah. Oh, well.
You know, it was just Party Central kind of thing, and I would have liked to spend more time there, but that wasn't where our hotel was.
I don't remember.
And it's very expensive there, by the way.
I don't remember what author it is. I've
Hemingway.
No, not.
He had a place down there in a bar and all that stuff.
I'm not a big fan of Hemingway. I know that's sacrilege. Not a big fan of his writing.
Well, I thought we were just going to talk about
no.
The
there was
writer
a,
that spent all his days
no,
down
but there.
There was a
back in the 60s. Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah. Hey, was Scotty up there with you guys? Right here. You guys having to get? Good.
Why are you laughing?
Nah, just sometimes you don't want everybody know. Sometimes you don't want everybody knowing your name.
Yeah, thanks. Everybody knows the great famous Matt Santos.
Looking for Scotty. I don't know if he was around. Oh well.
I think they all left now.
No, they're still right there because they were staring at me when I stood up.
Oh.
Thanks. There was, and I don't remember who it was that wrote it. It was this guy. He was like an ex-military or something. It was back in the 60s, and they stretched up through the 70s. He was like ex-military, and he basically dropped off the face of the earth, lived on a boat, and he would do like PI stuff, bodyguards. It was just a series of novels. It was like mystery books. And I can't remember who wrote them, but they all took place in the Keys. And I started reading those when I was like in junior high.
Are you talking about the guy that wrote all the James Bond novels?
No.
I thought he did that down there.
No. But it was, I can't remember. I've got some of them at home. But I always wanted to go down there and check it out. I always thought it would be cool to go, you know, since I was a kid. And I've never been down that far. I'd like to, though. Just well, seems like
it was
a cool.
It was
cool
incredible.
Head.
I'd like to go down there and stay down there, but like I said, it's expensive, man. Because everybody goes there, and like Key West proper is like completely covered with homes and businesses and airport and whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, completely. There's like no land like whatsoever. It's all full. And the other keys, some of the other keys are like almost completely empty. You know. So, but Key Largo, like going up, heading down there, you know, my buddy was telling his friends and everyone that we're going down there. And everyone kept saying there's like a kind of a feeling to the Keys. Like Key West is like Party Central, like everything crazy, the super drunks. I mean, there were a lot of super drunks down there.
Yeah.
It was, we're down there on a Sunday or Monday night. And just everybody was drunk and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And like the rest of the Keys, like Key Largo and all the other ones, are just chill and very relaxed. More of kind of what you would think of like island living.
Yeah. I'd like to go.
Dude, it was awesome. I'd like to stay down there, though. I'd like to get, like, my buddy and I were talking about it, and we're like, next time we should get, like, an Airbnb and just stay down there for a couple days. Because the hotels and the food. And,
yeah.
I mean, we went and bought dinner, and it was like $50 for two of us, so we didn't get anything fancy.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, I need a vacation.
Anyways.
Every time I go somewhere, it's always work-related. We're cutting out. We're taking off. Next weekend, a weekend after, I forget. Just a couple days. Probably going to Havasu again. Just to go. Turn off the phones and do nothing.
You sure it's going to be hot enough?
It's 90 there the other day. Hot enough. I'll just stay in the motel room and sleep. They got a hot tub and swimming pool.
But yeah, we basically my trip, you know, we always were doing something. The only one day we relaxed and we went to Cocoa Beach on Saturday.
Yeah.
And we hung out at Cocoa Beach pretty much all day and chilled out. And
is that the old NASA place?
Cocoa Beach is near Cape Canaveral, yeah. The Cape's still there, and it's not old. Well, it's old, I guess you
but
would
I mean,
say, but it's
Cocoa
still
Beach
there.
Was a place where they all hung out.
The, yeah, yeah, it okay. still is, yeah. And the best way to describe Cocoa Beach is kind of like how Miami used to be. Like, the buildings aren't tall, and it's just very chill and very relaxed. And there was a decent amount of people there, and but there was a strong riptide. And so, like, just about everybody left. We practically had the beach to ourselves at one point. It was great.
Nice.
But that was the one day we relaxed. Every other day we were doing something. We went to a park and went hiking, looking for gators and stuff, and went to Disney
put
World.
Put some roast beef in your pocket and walk around. They'll find you.
No. I'll pass on that. But went to Disney World for my first time, and the only reason we went to Disney World is because we got comp tickets, or else we wouldn't have gone, because they charge over $100 now per park, and they have four parks.
The last time, when's the last time you've been to Disneyland?
Senior year of high school.
What year was it? When was that?
2000.
Oh. I went in 96 or 97, and I will not go. That before that, I hadn't been since early 70s, 73, 74, something like that. And I won't do it again. And I feel bad because I know Sandra loves it. When we went, we had just gotten married. So it was either late 95 or early 96. And we took my nephew, who was like 9 or 10 at the time. We got freebie, same thing. We got freebie flights, freebie hotel, and freebie for some, anyway, I got freebie stuff. But we had four. And it was just me and Sandra, so we took my nephew and then her sister, my sister-in-law, who was maybe 10 or 11 at the time. And I couldn't take it. I just couldn't take the crowds, the lines.
Yeah,
so
well, that's
they
basically
went, and
all
I went back,
any of that is.
I went back and hung out at the motel. It was really close by, so I took a cab back to the motel, left the car for them in the we had a rental car, so I left their car, the car in the parking lot. I took a cab back to the hotel, and I just stayed there. It was right around the corner. But I feel bad because I know she wants to go back. I really want Anthony to go. I mean, he's at an age now, 7 years old, where he could, you know, he could enjoy it and have some fun. But I won't do it. I can't.
Well, the crowds, the crowds don't bother me. The lines suck, but it's nice to catch up with my buddy, you know, and talk to him. And then one thing I saw at Universal, I didn't see it too much at Disney World, but at Universal. The high school age kids were playing games in line, and Disney World wasn't too bad on the lines. My buddy was saying how usually the lines are two or three times the length we were there, but the average line time was like 25, 30 minutes at Disney World, which wasn't bad.
No, that's nothing. I just too many people. And when we went to back to California for a vacation in July, that wasn't really a vacation. It was supposed to be. It didn't work out to be, but we ended up going to. There was a couple of things I really wanted to take Anthony to. I wanted him to see the wharf in San Francisco. Take him around San Francisco a little bit, which we did, but it was jam packed. We got there much later than we had anticipated, and I wanted him to see Santa Cruz, the beach boardwalk, which we ended up spending the entire day there. It was great, but just super packed. And we were there midweek. It was like a Wednesday or Thursday, and I get. It sounds weird because outside and in an open air environment, but I get really claustrophobic. I can't. That's why I don't know if you know. That's why I always drive with my window down. I gotta have my arm out the window. I go nuts. I don't like being around crowds unless I'm working. If I'm working, I'm fine. If I've got my camera and I've got something to do,
I was gonna say that.
Like at games,
immediately brought up
like,
the Trump rally because
no games. I'm sure doing something. It didn't matter because I'm doing something. But I don't like going to – when I went took Anthony to spring training this year, we would not have gone if we had to sit in seats. We went to the bleacher lawn section, threw out a blanket on the lawn, laid back. About every 20 minutes, every inning and a half, I would get up and walk around a little bit because I could – it was just too – we happened to be sitting next to an older couple who ended up falling asleep, so it was great. But I can't take crowds unless I'm there working.
And it's just strictly because you're claustrophobic.
I think. I don't know. Just anxiety. Huh. I just don't like it. I don't like...
I was going to say, I just don't like people.
Yeah. I don't mind people. And I'll sit somewhere for hours. And that's what I did at Santa Cruz. I'll sit somewhere and watch people for hours. My nephew Elliot and I. Because he didn't really want to go. He wanted to go just to kind of hang out. But he's the same way. He doesn't like going and hanging out in crowds and stuff. So him and I went and grabbed a bench while everybody else was just playing the arcade games. And they went peewee golf and stuff. Me and Elliot sat on a bench and just watched people walk by. And then we would make, it's a little game I play. You make up a whole backstory for the person. I usually do it in my head. But we were doing it together. And it was a ball. It was fun. I'll do that. But I can't be in the crowd. I'll sit somewhere and just watch people. Well, I love doing that.
That's one thing that, you know, not to draw it back to our photography world, since I think that's what we were supposed to be talking about tonight, but we're not. I think it was my high school teacher, photo teacher, was saying, you know, don't even take your camera. Just go and sit at a park and watch people and watch how they interact and watch how they walk and watch how they carry themselves, and watch what they do, and just do it for an hour. And that was one of my assignments in high school. And that's a very good thing for photographers to do, in my opinion.
My high school journalism teacher, when I was trying to get on staff, it was my freshman sophomore year, Maurice Schmidt. He said, photographers are a weird breed. Reporters will interview people and talk to people and write a story. Other people in media do things and interact with people. The photographer's sole job is to be a voyeur and just watch and observe. And he goes, it's for weirdos. Is what he did.
He was completely right.
I would much rather, and I've had to do it because to pay the bills. To do like what we've done together, like doing the cheerleader stuff, portrait stuff, where you're actually directing and you're doing
studio style stuff.
Don't like it. I am much more comfortable. I think my candid portraits, for lack of a better word, like documentary portrait work, where I just observe somebody, look way much that's much more interesting photography to me than studio work. I would much rather sit back, and I've done that.
I agree.
I've done that as portrait sessions before, where people go, well, what can I do? If I can talk them into it, because they'll want to see, well, how many backgrounds, how many outfits, what locations and stuff. And I've done this on a couple of occasions, primarily with like business portraits and stuff, but I've also done it with families, and I love doing it with brides or like engagement pictures. If you let me do this the way I want to, I'll make it. Trust me, you'll get what you want. What do you want to do? Pick a day when you're going to go do something, especially with engagement couples when they have to go like get fitted for tuxes or go pick your cake or the caterer or something like that, or book the room.
How you doing, bud?
Good. Or book the room. I'll just go with you, and I'll just photograph it like I would be an assignment for a publication or something. We're not going to pose anything. We're not going to set anything. I may tweak something here or there or move something or have you pose or do a look very briefly, but for the most part, I'm going to follow you around for an afternoon. You get much, much better stuff, and the bad part is, especially weddings, when people see those pictures, they want those. But then they try and recreate them.
They want you to pose them.
They want them recreated. And to me, that's just so... Ugh, it's just so draining. It's harder work. It's boring for me. And I would much rather just sit back and watch and observe. And if I get a picture or two and a... You know, and then you get to play with... That's when, you know, when you start really tweaking with available light and stuff like that. It's a lot more fun. For me, anyway. But no, as far as what we wanted to talk about, we hadn't hung out in, months. Because you got like a legitimate job.
I know, it's weird. Monday through Friday, 10 to 6.
Let's do that. This episode of the Mile High Show is brought to you by...
The Bergamini Group.
And where can we find...
Of Realty Executives.
And where can we find them?
Welcome to Prescott.com.
What's
that's
social media?
Our web address.
Social media.
The Burger Mini Group, I believe, is what it is.
Doesn't he also
on most
have Prescott AZ?
Yeah.
I'll link him. I'll find him. I think
we own Prescott AZ on Zillow, I think.
No, I think that's his Twitter, too, I think.
It might be. I don't know. He doesn't use Twitter much.
So
I don't use
when
Twitter
did you start over there?
Work. I started in late June.
Has it been that long already?
Yep. I was out of work.
Just a couple weeks.
For those of you who don't know, no, I was out for about 2 months.
Was it?
Yep, I was laid off in May.
Oh. Didn't you take off? Weren't you gone for a little bit? Or no? When you first got laid off?
Well, I don't know if I took off. I might have gone and visited. That was one of the things is I got a job almost too fast because there were things I wanted to do.
Yeah, I thought
not that
you
that's
did.
A bad thing,
no,
but
I
wanted to.
I don't remember.
Well, I was down doing Rattler stuff a lot. Yeah. That's for sure.
Oh, that was your busy month. That's
yeah.
right.
But that was when we had three or four home games in 1 month, which is unheard of. Typically, yeah. we only have two. Typically, it's usually
Maybe.
Every other week.
Yeah.
But there was like three or four, and that was the month where we had one on like a Monday yeah. and very kind of all over the place anyways. But
so what's your job over there? Explain what you do.
Well, my official title is creative coordinator. Basically what I do is I do all the photography for our new listings, and I do all the marketing for it. So Zillow, Facebook, Tour Factory, stuff like that. And then I do other various... marketing things, building signs. I'm starting to do a lot of graphic design stuff, which I haven't really done much of, but I can
yeah.
fumble my way around, I guess is a good way yeah. to put it.
That's fun trying new stuff.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have a job because, like I said, I was worried there for a while. I was getting ready to pack my bags and live with my sister or live with my parents or whatever, but this came along and it's
Why
been nothing but great.
Why do you hate your family so much?
Well, someone's got to annoy them.
to torture them by moving into their home. What did they ever do to you?
I don't have any friends good enough to let me live with them.
I got a garage. Come hang out. Got a pump house. It's bigger than your bedroom, I think.
I'm pretty sure your garage is more square footage than my whole house.
Right now, it's still got a lot of somebody else's stuff in there. She's slowly moving it out. We have a friend of ours move.
Oh.
And she... her new place wasn't ready. She had like a month period where she had to be out of hers and her new one wasn't ready. They had to do some remodeling and stuff. So she ended up staying with friends, but all her stuff, it was no big deal. We volunteered it, actually. I told her, don't spend any money on it. So she was going to rent a couple of storage units. I got a 1,100 square foot garage. So they loaded everything in there. And she's been in her place a couple months, but... You know how it is when you're moving. When you want to get everything set, you do. If you rush through and you're working out of boxes, things are going to get – it's going to be frustrating. So we just told her, said, take your time. Leave it where it is. I'm surprised there's so few stuff in there. She's been moving it out pretty quick. I think she's worried we want it out. I told her, take your time. I don't care.
But, well, that's nice of you.
Yeah, that way she could move it and set things up as she needs, figure out what she's missing. Otherwise, you're like, well, I got to go buy this, and then later you find it was just in another box.
I've had that happen, yeah.
Yeah, so
I have, like, curtains and multiple sets of curtain rings.
You need lots of curtains,
bathrooms.
Though. You need lots and lots of curtains because yep. you don't want... well, not so much you. Your neighbors don't
My
want
My neighbors
you.
Don't want the, want the curtains. They're the ones that throw money
lead
at me and
lining.
Say, please.
They want lead
get
lining.
Curtains. Well, and tinfoil hats. That's another one. But, no, things have been going good. I'm busy. We're kind of in our slow season right now. I wouldn't say we're super, super slow. We're still turning and burning as much as we ever yeah. do. But I'm not shooting as much right now. I'm doing more of the marketing side
gotcha.
Right now.
Now, your own you've been on this show probably more than, aside from Les, I think, probably more than anybody
or
else.
Or Sky. I think Sky has me
well,
beat, too.
No, because he was hosting his own. So
yeah,
that
don't count, but
yeah.
I'm talking ones where he's been
maybe,
on a You Talk Show.
Four, maybe? Three or four?
Well, I don't know. If you count all the big group ones, yeah, I might be around four.
But plug away where your own Hinshaw Photography stuff
yeah,
is.
Yeah, hinshawphotography.com. Basically, Hinshaw photo on all the social medias, Twitter, so Instagram.
The bulk of your stuff was for a long time local media here, and you would read it. Yep. Now you're doing some work for Prescott E-News and the E-News AZ family.
Well, that was one thing after my release from the newspaper we don't name. The local competition, E-News, has contacted me, and I've been shooting not a ton for them, but it's nice. I mainly shoot football.
I've
shot a couple of assignments. Yeah, nice. It's nice being out shooting sports again, that's for sure.
So people are mainly seeing you doing that because the home stuff, other than the client, they're not seeing you.
Yeah, I don't really put too much of that out on my personal stuff because it doesn't, you know, you can't contact me and say, hey, I like that house, I want to buy it because I can't.
But people aren't seeing you around like they would other than the homeowner.
Right, right.
And stuff like that. But they're seeing you back out on the football.
I'm still on about shooting stuff for Lynn. So.
And then the Rattlers, who just wrapped up their season in August.
August, yep.
Switching leagues. IFL.
Yep, that was just announced on Monday.
Yeah.
Yep, they're switching to the IFL.
And
so.
Then possibly, depending on what happens with their marketing folks and stuff, the Northern Arizona Suns.
Well, I haven't been contacted, but last time I talked to my contact there, they said they definitely won't. Will have me there when the season starts, and so I'm just waiting on that. And
they're finalizing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, same. You know, it's same probably
a lot of the same front office management as Rattlers.
Yeah, so, it's probably a lot of chaos
at Sundogs and all that. So, a lot of familiar faces.
I can't even imagine the amount of work they're going through right now because it's not just they're starting a new season; they're starting a whole new team. So. It's probably 10 times what they typically would be doing.
From what I've heard, the rumblings I've heard from in and around the arenas, their biggest concern, from what I've heard, though, they really need to solidify corporate fulfillment, ticket sales, and all that. They need that staff set up.
Do you know if they're ever going to get the arena named again? Does that fall on the Suns, or does that fall on someone else?
That's the arena.
Okay, that falls on the arena.
No, they're shopping it. They shop it every few months. It's a big commitment, though. It's just there's not a lot of locals that have that kind of deep pockets.
Well, why are they looking local? Can't they look national, like a major brand? To name any, but you know.
No, yeah, but does a major brand want to spend that much money in a small market?
Good point.
Who makes more money? Who gains most from the exposure? A local,
it would be a
like
local.
What,
yeah,
you had the local mogul at the car dealer, which was the old Tim's, or a local entity, whether it be a development or something. Of course, there's it would be great to have the Pepsi Arena or the whatever arena, but they're doing those for the major 10,000.
Yeah, well, especially
arenas.
Ones that are televised. You know.
So it's a small market. Oh, it's a smaller market. It's a smaller arena. So. But the price ticket's big, it's a lot to do. So, but that's where Catfish and Spiker and them they're constantly hammering and looking around and shopping it around. And who knows? It may be a Suds. Who knows? That's for people way higher up the food chain than I. Well, cool.
I'm really looking forward to the Northern Arizona Suns starting up. I'm not personally a huge basketball fan, but I got really, not to too my own horn, but I got really, really, really good at shooting basketball for the 2 years I spent at a newspaper outside of the reservation because basically I would shoot two or three games almost every day for the entire season. I mean, I was shooting games left and right.
Basketball's huge on the reses.
Extremely huge. They have arenas on the res that are bigger than Tim's Toyota Center.
Yeah.
And they're high school arenas.
Well, cool. How was your sandwich?
It was good, man. Not bad. Yeah. How's half of your Reuben?
It was good.
Looks like you
really
just ate
good.
The bread.
I was eating the top down. Now I'm going to eat the meat.
I think we're starting to get into dark territory on this podcast talking about eating meat.
No, I wanted to wrap it up. That was fun. We hadn't sat and talked for a long time.
Yeah, man. Well, I'm only available on weekends now, so kind of. Or late at night. Maybe not late at night, but in the evenings.
Well, thanks to the folks over at Far From Folsom for letting us take up space. Thanks, Matt, for hanging out.
Yeah. And I hope this podcast isn't too annoying.
No, I hope it's much better than last Saturday's.
I'm going to have to listen to that one now.
No, delete it. Oh, it was horrible. And I was getting angry while I was doing it.
Were you starting to yell?
Yeah. Sandra goes, what were you doing last night? Because I finished it at like
you
midnight.
You were in the garage. Oh, man. She heard you all the way
and then I was
in the house.
I also
garage.
Set up that PA system just to mess with. All right. So we're going to have some fun coming up with some live shows. Maybe here. We got our second anniversary coming up. Matt will probably be part of that, or at least
yeah.
There.
As long as you schedule it not during the day
yeah,
again,
I'll probably do it like
that. Last one, you know, I wanted to be there for the last
oh,
one.
Oh, that!
But you schedule it during the day.
That's because Danny. I want it because the very first show. Was
I understand you wanted
Danny
to do it at
Sky.
Big Daddy E's at.
No,
you know,
I didn't care where it was.
Because they got the lunchtime over there.
No, Eric took care of us. But no, what I wanted was Danny Romero and Sky because they were the first show.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
And that was the only time Danny was available.
Yeah.
And he showed up a half hour late. But no,
it's all good,
I like
man.
Doing them Sunday afternoons.
You do it Sunday afternoon, I'll be there.
All right, we're going to wrap up. Oh, and I'll do it in the intro too and probably drop in the middle. Amazon, use the Amazon link at milehighshow.com, which Matt always forgets to do.
No, I use it constantly. I never buy stuff from Amazon, but
no,
when I
don't.
Do,
because
I buy it from the Mile High
I get
Show.
A report that shows who ordered what. It's itemized. Oh. And you have been on there. Amazon link at milehighshow.com.
Yeah, I bought stuff for you through it.
Now the other one that's getting a little more traction is the Audible. Right at the bottom of milehighshow.com is a link to Audible. 180,000 titles. You get a free download and a free 30-day trial and tons of audio content there, not just books, magazines, podcasts, radio drama, all kinds of stuff. The one I'm in the middle of now, and I've been listening to it while driving, and so I've had to go back because I missed parts, is now I have to remember what it is. Born Standing Up or A Life Standing. It's a Steve Martin book. It's incredible. It's really, really good.
Does he read it?
Yes. And the next one, based on a true story, Norm MacDonald's book.
Oh, that'll be good.
It is supposed to be incredible on the audio form.
Well, don't they also have like university lectures and things like
everything.
That as well?
180,000 titles, and you get one free by using the code MILEHIGH at checkout. So use that Audible button at the bottom of milehighshow.com. Go through, sign up, pick a freebie. You get it for completely free. And if you don't like any title, you can trade it in. No questions asked. You get it. Send it back, or you just cancel it, and they send you another one to replace it. It's playable through the Audible app on either your computer, iTunes, or iPhone, Android, anything. It's across platforms, Kindles. You get
smartphones or tablets cover all of it.
And if you cancel it before that 30-day, nothing. You keep the one that you got. You keep that free download. So a lot of free stuff on there, a lot of good stuff. Go back, listen to the archives, except for last week's. So you can just bypass that.
And pretty much any of the podcasts I've been on.
All right, thanks, Manny.
Take it easy.
111 is done and in the can.